Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ today. We're glad that you have chosen to join us for this week's sermon of the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene. God's Word is full of timeless truths that are relevant to our lives today. Here's this week's message.
I love that the Church of the Nazarene is a church that has local churches where all the decisions are made, all the ministries are engaged in, the connections are made. The local church is where the heart of the Church of the Nazarene is. When I look back over my years of development as a Christian and who I am, I think back to unique people within the life of the church that have made a difference in my life. Some of them in most wonderful, profound ways that just kind of set me on my faith journey, whether it was a youth pastor or someone in the church who was teaching Sunday school or doing something that has just taught and helped me be like, yes, helped me recognize the convictions of the faith and changed who I was. Some of them were in small, subtle ways, like at college church. There was this really tall, elderly gentleman, and every time he talked with you, he would wink. And Jen, I'm blanking on his name, but I think you know what. Norman Bloom, just this wonderful, wonderful gentleman. He would just wink every time. And you know what? It caught. And for a long time, I started winking when I talked to people. And then in my first church in Bloomington, I actually had a guy I met start calling me Winkums because I just winked all the time. It's just subtle examples that I can point to where people just are like, they make a difference. They make an impact. But each of our local churches are also tied to and connected to the Church of the Nazarene. And the Church of the Nazarene right now in 134 different world areas. We call them world areas only because we would call them countries, but sometimes to call certain world areas countries is to create a get engaged in worldly politics that actually inhibits our work in that given world area. And so, but we are a globally connected church. And a church that I've also recognized in my dealings in the local church is that we engage in ministry together, whether it's youth groups working together or sharing revival experiences or just saying, hey, there is a broad mission for the district that each church is getting engaged in, whether it's something easy like crisis care kits or something broader. And so in conversation with our district superintendent, Paul McPherson, over the last month, he was sharing with us what his district message was going to be to the assembly. He said, I think I'm going to be borrowing from Scripture and using the phrase, behold, I am doing a new thing. And I thought, you know, here I am coming to the local church, and I would love to do a foreshadowing of that. I have no clue what his message is going to be about, but I found myself also saying, let's spend some time in Isaiah today. And if you were to come and join us, I suspect you will hear an entirely different point of view or understanding from our district superintendent, but yet, nonetheless, an impulse to what God wants to do here in the state of Maine. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 43, verses 14 to 21, and hopefully hear and discern what God wants to do for us. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I will send to Babylon, break down all the bars, and the shouting of the Chaldeans will be turned to lamentation. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings out chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise, they are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth, do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself so they might declare my praise. This is the word of the prophet Isaiah speaking to the exiled people of God, the people of Judah who have been carried off, who are being captured. And the prophet Isaiah says, and wait a minute, I have a word for you. I want you to hear the Lord's hope for you about what He has in store for you. And so he begins by saying, the Lord, the God who has created you, has a plan for you. And this isn't just the Lord, the Creator, but specifically the Creator of Israel, the Creator of who you are as a people, the Creator of their nation. He says, I have created you, so I have a plan for you. They are in exile. This is that time when the Babylonians came and took them away and carried them out. And they found themselves without home and found themselves wondering what's going to happen with our faith. Who are we as a people? And they're trying to find out, where is God in all of this? If we've ever had moments where we've hit roadblock after roadblock, moments where we said, you know what, I thought God had me right where He wanted me. I thought God was going to use me right here in this place. And then all of a sudden, it seems like, lo and behold, we are somewhere else. And what in the world is God going to do now in the midst of all this? This is where Isaiah is speaking to the people of God. Remember God. He is the one who had created you, formed you as the people, and created you out of that Exodus story. And what follows next is that Exodus story. He created them out of a people of slavery into a liberated nation. His act of creation is an act of freedom, is an act of liberation. And so also, when it is good for us to remember in our faith journey, when Christ calls us into His family, calls us sons and daughters, invites us into His loving embrace, when we become a part of the family of God, it is an act of liberation. We are set free from the powers of sin. The story of the Exodus is a story of God creating the people to be who they are supposed to be before God. And Isaiah tells this story of this liberation. Verses 16 and 17 are the story of God's liberation. When he talks about, you know, I'm going to break down those bars of Babylon, everything that holds you back, and you are going to come back and you're going to come through, because this God is the God who makes a way through the sea. This is the God who makes a way through the waters. It is telling that story of their escape from Egypt, when they are on their way to the promised land and they are being chased and hounded by Egyptians' forces. And while they are escaping, they find themselves, behind them are the chariots coming in, but before them is just water. Just water. And there's no way. Well, what do we do now? How do we outrace this chariots? And so God moves in a mighty way, and the wind comes and separates the waters, and the people are able to get through in this wonderful story of the Exodus. And it seems all well and good. Well, now they can continue on, but sometimes the problems of the past linger. Sometimes those things hold on tight to us, and they know the chariots are still on the way. And yet when the chariots get to the same path that they had just taken, God allows the waters to cover over them and sweep over them. And the chariots and the horse and the army and the warrior, according to Isaiah, they lie down now and they cannot rise. They are quenched as easily as one might quench a wick on a candle. And so this is a story where he invites the people of God to recognize their situation is not unlike a situation they have faced before, and to see that God is going to do something new, something brand new for them. And I want you to know today that I think that there is a couple ways in which we ought to see this. On the one hand, there is a very corporate way of seeing this. He is talking to the entire gathered people who have been taken off into exile. And I think that, and he's talking to Israel, he's talking to this people. And I think in the same way, for us, the church, God says, I am able and willing to do a new thing. And so I mentioned in our In our annual meeting, I am excited when I see people doing things they have not done before. When I get excited when I see people I haven't seen before. Connections we make with loved ones and friends who say, God has a plan and a purpose for you. And we believe God meets us and warms our spirit. And God indeed works in this place of worship. Will you be a part of this? When we see people read scripture for the first time or come to events for the first time or otherwise just open up their hearts to what God is doing, this is a good sign for our local church. For we have said, you have seen it on our bulletins, we want to be a beacon of hope for this community. We want to be the place where people say, yes, God is moving, God has a plan, and we are not defined by what has chased us. We are not defined by that past. We are defined by where God is leading and moving and where God is making a way for us. And this story, I think, has a personal dynamic as well. Throughout the Old Testament, in fact, even in the very verse after where I stopped reading, you will often find where it talks about Israel, it will also poetically talk about Jacob. Jacob, of course, takes on the name Israel when he wrestles with God. He wrestles with God and takes on that name, and that becomes the name of their nation. But often, again and again, in the prophets and in the Psalms, when they talk about Israel, they also talk about Jacob. And I can't help but think that not only is that a poetic tool at their disposal, but it's also a way of saying that God's promises for his gathered group of people are also a promise for us individually, for us personally, for us to recognize where there is sin chasing us, where there's temptation chasing us, where there is the past consequences chasing us, where we find indeed that there is still struggle, there's still roadblocks, there's still things before us that we say, I don't know how I get through this. God says, I want to do something new. I want to make a way. I want to help you. I am not finished with you yet. That this is a story that God's promises for his people are a promise for us too. This year, I've spent a lot of time talking in the Gospel of Mark. And we're going to return to going through the Gospel of Mark in about a month. God meets us where we are is what we have found again and again in the Gospels. That God is pleased to dwell and his holiness is pleased to work in and among those who are sick and those who seem to be unclean and those who seem not to be who they are supposed to be in their society or before God. But yet God loves them and his grace meets us precisely where we are. And this sets us free to be more than we have ever been before. I think when we hear that, God meets us precisely where we are, could be misconstrued to think, oh, well, now I don't have to worry about, you know, what I've done or who I am or what I do from here. But God has loved us so much that he says, no, I want to work in your life right now. And he beckons and he calls us to faithfulness, to lead us forward into a way of life that would indeed love one another and be faithful to our God. Sets us free to be more than we've ever been before. And this is why I find in Isaiah when he says, I'm going to make a new way in the wilderness, I'm going to make rivers in the desert, that this is him breaking ground in places and areas we haven't let God move before. Maybe areas in our life where we just haven't invited God in, or maybe areas in the life of those around us where we just haven't seen God at work yet, but yet to believe God is still interested and moving, and we get to be a part of that work. When he says, I'm making a way in the desert, in the wilderness, and rivers in the desert, I can't help but hear the opposites at play here. The very nature of a wilderness is it's untamed. There are no ways through, but yet God will make a way. The very nature of a desert is that it's supposed to be barren of water, but yet God says, I will be making rivers in the desert. And so this is his way of saying where it looks hopeless, where it looks like I don't know where to go from here or what else God might possibly do, and it seems like there's a dead end and there's no way forward. God says, I am the God who always can find a way and lead you out of those desperate moments and indeed find that God has been with us and is joining with us. Let us open up our eyes to see that there is a Lord who has said, where things struggle today are not where you will be tomorrow. And so he continues in that vein to talk about this with the wild animals, the jackals, the ostriches. They're going to honor the Lord. These animals are animals that don't have a place of honor. They're not animals that you can tame. They're not animals that you would expect you could work with or do anything with. They are clearly outside of that which is safe and that which is tamed. Every couple months, we hear in our backyard, right around the pond out here, we hear wild animals barking, howling, whatever. And it's in those moments that we say, okay, our cat, as much as he loves to go outside and chase the mice, we got to keep him in or he's going to get eaten. And so like we have to take those measures. We know now it's wild, it's unsafe, it doesn't work. Yet in Isaiah, when he says to us, the jackals, the ostriches, the wild animals, they will honor me. It's his way of saying that which has always existed outside of what is safe will be tamed. Everything will be made habitable. The Lord brings order to his world and brings liberation to those who have suffered or lived in fear or lived in uncertainty because of everything that has happened around them. The Lord can indeed bring it all to order in his plan and his purpose. I think the most popular, I don't know if it's the most popular image. It's one of the most popular images in the book of Revelation is the image of the lion that lays with the lamb. We know this image. It is the ordering of a world in which there is no longer devouring and fighting and violence. It is the ordering of a world in which we can live in harmony with one another. And that image is the predominant image when he says, these wild animals will honor me. It is the same kind of picture. The same dynamic is at work in the image of these wild animals honoring the Lord. Everything that is contrary in this world will be brought low before the Lord. Or as the Apostle Paul says, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Might we believe that the Lord is in the midst of bringing the world to that purpose, that we might be surprised where the grace of God is moving among us, that we might be surprised where liberation from sin is possible, that we might be surprised that the exercising of our faith and the people to whom God might be moving might be different than we'd ever imagined. Everything is being brought to God's purpose to praise and honor Him. So when he says to us, don't remember those former things, don't remember those old ways, behold, I am doing a new thing. He's saying, let us not focus on it and dwell on that which has gone wrong before, but trust where God is going to move us in the year to come. Behold, I am doing a new thing, breaking ground to provide a way where ways have not been before. I am excited that I get to continue to serve and be your pastor in the coming church year moving forward. And I'm eager to see how God is going to continue to work in the relationships that we have and the outreach and the moments of points of contact with our community to see how God will restore hope. And indeed, this church will be a beacon of hope to our world around us. I am looking forward to looking at how we indeed get drawn into God's plan to declare the praise of who He is and what He is doing in our life. When I return and come back after church, one of the things we'll be doing is we'll be talking about what does it mean to be a people who praise and honor God and allow God to work in their life. And what a joy it will be indeed to see that God is never finished working in us, and indeed is providing new ways for us to be liberated from that which holds us back from His will and His purpose. God has a plan for this church and for each and every one of us. God will find a way. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank You for today. I thank You, Heavenly Father, that You are the God who tears down the walls that get in the way, parts the sea that keeps us from going across, indeed creates a new path in the wilderness. And so, Heavenly Father, today we come to You and we say, Lord, personally, where there is something that keeps us from drawing closer to You, would You remove that burden? Would You break down that wall? Would You create a way? Lord, where there is something that keeps us from living faithfully to You, would You help us find freedom and liberation from that and believe indeed You are faithful to do so. Heavenly Father, as Your church, whom You have placed here in this place, Lord, help us to see that You are the God who is moving and at work, that indeed You are providing ways for us to be a beacon of hope that we had not perhaps anticipated, or perhaps, Lord, we will find indeed that in continued faithfulness to You, that we will see that You are the God who provides respite, who provides peace, who provides the hope that You bring through Your Son, Jesus Christ. And indeed, Lord, we can be Your ministers of that gospel. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to You and what You are going to do here in this place. We trust in You today and in the days to come. Thank You, Lord, for that work. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. We hope this sermon has encouraged you with the gospel of Jesus. More sermons are available online at our website, capenazarene.org. May God bless you abundantly as you serve Him today.